Okay, well, if you've got a Bible, you might want to open it this morning. We're going to open the Word of God. Let's just pray just before we do that. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your Word. We just thank you, Lord, that you speak to us, Lord, in many ways. Father, you speak to us prophetically, Lord. You speak to us, Lord, with a still small voice. Father, you speak to us through your Word. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you speak to every person, Lord, this day, Lord, as we open your Word, Lord, as we lift up the name of Jesus, Lord, that you'll speak to us, Lord, that we'll be a different people, Lord, that you will challenge us and change us even this day, Lord, as we look in the mirror of your Word. And Father, Lord, that you'll see, show us where we need to grow and change in you, Father. We just thank you in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. Many of you would know, I'm sure all of you know, that Michael Jackson, he passed away. And I was amazed, even we were over in the Philippines, and even over there in the Philippines, I mean, I don't know how long he'd been dead, maybe only a few hours, the word had already out there. People were saying, Michael Jackson's dead. I'm thinking, okay, he's always dead. That's, you know, it's a shame that he has died, because they didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone who dies without not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a shame when they die, when they pass away. But some people will always remember now for the rest of their lives what they were doing when Michael Jackson died. And I remember even some, do you remember when Princess Diana died? Can you remember what you were doing when Princess Diana died? So many people can. They can remember what they were doing when Princess Diana died. They'll say, oh yes, I remember exactly the very moment I heard the news that Princess Diana was dead. What about when Elvis died? How many of you around when Elvis died? Elvis is still alive. Some people will tell you, they may be a little bit older, but they'll tell you what happened when they'll remember when Elvis died. Some of you, even a little bit older again, they'll tell you what happened when JFK died. Anybody remember what you were doing when JFK died? I don't know if I was born then. When did he die? Can anyone tell me? 64? 63, was it? Oh, I might have been still in the womb there. But people remember that. But what I want to ask you is, what will you be doing when the Lord Jesus comes back? That's what I want us to think about. What will I be doing when the Lord Jesus comes back? We've just done a series over the last few weeks. We did a series about 1 month to live. What would you do if you found out that you only had 1 month to live? That's what we looked at as a church. We said, if you suddenly found out that you were going to die in 1 month, what would you do? What adjustments, what changes would you make to your life? When we ask the question every day, how will I live this day if I found out that I had 1 month to live? And we did a whole series over that for a month in our home groups, and we looked at that every Sunday morning. What would we do if we only had 1 month to live? Well, I want to actually sharpen the focus on that a little bit more today. I actually want to make that, bring it a little bit sharper into the focus. And I want to ask ourselves today, what are we going to be doing when Jesus comes back? What are we going to be doing when Jesus comes back? There's a scripture that we'll just have a look up on the screen there. In Mark 13:33, it says, be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. You don't know what time it is that when Jesus is going to be coming back. And what were you going to be doing? What will be the frame of mind that you have when Jesus comes back? What will your conversation be when Jesus comes back? What will you be doing when Jesus comes back? What will be your spiritual condition when Jesus comes back? Because I want to bring that into even a sharper focus, more than just 1 month to live, but any moment, any hour, any time that Jesus could come back. And what will we be doing in our lives when that happens? I want us to look at 2 Peter chapter 2. So 2 Peter, sorry, chapter 3. 2 Peter, not 1 Peter. I think your bookmark says 1 Peter. It's actually 2 Peter. You do have notes, and you can follow those along. It's got the scriptures on here, but it's actually in your newsletter. You can grab that out if you want. But 2 Peter chapter 3, and I want to have a look at this passage of scripture, but I want you to always be have in the back of your mind the scripture, be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. What are you going to be doing when Jesus comes back? How will that affect you? What will you be up to? So let's have a look at this passage from 2 Peter, reading from chapter 3. It says, dear friends, this is my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. So that's what this Peter's writing about, to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. And that phrase actually means to bring it into the sunlight, to test it in sunlight. Because in those days, if you want to look at something, well, they've just got oil lamps, it's a little bit dark, you're trying to see, is there a flaw, if there's an imperfection in this thing that I'm making, is this thing cracked, is it okay, is it whole? Then the best way to examine that would be to take it outside under the sunlight and have a look, and then you could see, yeah, if there's any flaws, is there any cracks in this pot, in this jar, it will be tested by sunlight. And that's what the scripture's talking about. It's saying that this passage is, and what we're talking about today, is to bring your life out into the sunlight, that we can test it and have a look at our lives and our hearts and see, is there any cracks? Is there anything that we need to address, anything we need to fix in our lives? Verse 2 says, I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They'll say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation, saying, well, Jesus is supposed to be coming back. Well, didn't they believe that in that generation? Weren't they expecting it? It seems, isn't everything just the same, they ask? But they deliberately forget, in verse 5, they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world at that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. For the Lord is not slowing in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you're looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things which are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in be glory both now and forever. So a lot of things in this passage, and it's really warning all of us. And we, as I said, we want to bring it into the light. One thing to say, well, I've got 30 days, 1 month to live. I want us to begin to focus now and say that Jesus could come back at any time and at any moment. It talks in this scripture about people saying, well, gee, was he's taking a long time, isn't he? It says like, well, everything just seems to go on as it has since the beginning of creation. We've got to make sure that we don't allow that thinking to even to come into our own heart and into our own life, because the scripture is saying, well, the time is coming, and it is going to come in a way at a time when you don't expect. It says that the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And the day of the Lord coming like a thief is not sneaky, sneaky, sneaky in there, you know, off we go. The idea of the coming like a thief is bang, kick down the door, bang, here we go, and it's a robbery that happens. It's sudden, it's violent, it's very impacting. The heavens will disappear with a roar, not quite quiet little thing. It's going to happen very suddenly, very unexpectedly. It says in Luke 17:24, this will come up on the screen, you can read it on the screen, it says, for the Son of Man in his day will be like lightning. When you see lightning, you see it from one end to the other. The Son of Man, when Jesus comes back, it'll be as shocking, as profound, as strong as lightning coming. Every eye is going to see it when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. And just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to that day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying, selling, planting, and building. But the time of judgment that came upon them was very, very sudden. And as believers, we've got to know that Jesus Christ is coming back. When Jesus died upon the cross and when he ascended to the Father, he said, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And Jesus Christ is coming back. one day he will be coming back, and he's coming back at a time and a moment when we will not expect it. He's going to come back very suddenly. In fact, when you don't think is now the time is when he's going to come back. He's going to come back when it's unexpected. Jesus spoke about looking at the signs and knowing, even as you know, the signs of what the weather's going to be and all of those things. There'll be some signs, but he'll come at a time when it's unexpected. He's just going to come when you think, oh, Jesus, no, it's going to be another 20, 30, 40, maybe another 100, 200 years. Who knows? It could be forever when he comes back. But he's going to come at a time when we don't expect it. He's going to return suddenly, and every eye is going to see Jesus come back. In Revelation 1:7, it says, every eye will see, not, oh, gee whiz. You know, some people believe in some sort of a secret rapture that we'll wake up one day. I mean, there's a great book, great movies, Left Behind. Really good stuff and very exciting, but I don't believe it's the way that Scripture actually says it's going to happen. That you're going to be, one day there'll be a father will come and say, oh, where's your mum? Has she gone shopping? Oh, I think she could be shopping. She might have been raptured. I don't know. You know, it's not going to happen that way. When Jesus comes back, it's going to be a very profound thing. Every eye will see and everyone will know that Jesus Christ has come back. And we're either going to be ready for him or we're not going to be ready for him when he comes back. The Scripture talks about, yet there'll be two in bed and one will suddenly will go up. But they will know. They won't be left wondering, oh, gee, I wonder where they went. No, gee, I don't know. No, everyone will know when the Lord Jesus comes back. The great archangel will give an enormous shout. The heavenly trumpet will sound. And every eye will see and know that Jesus Christ has come back. And he's coming at a time. It's going to be very sudden at a time. And what does this mean to us? Well, we know that. We know that Jesus is coming back. Well, that's fine. But maybe some of us, we fall into this little malaise and just, yeah, well, he's coming someday. And yeah, praise God, I'll be there. And in the meantime, we're not living our lives with that expectation. In fact, we find that our life begins to slip into some compromise. Not even, well, 1 month to live, how am I going to know? But every single moment of every single day. And that's the challenge this morning, that what are you going to be doing when Jesus comes? Are you going to be ready for him when the Lord returns? Because he is coming and you will not be expecting it. You won't know the time, you won't know the hour. Jesus said, not even the Son of Man, but the time that's appointed by the Father when he declares and decrees the time when Jesus is coming back. And so no one can tell you when that's going to be, but it's going to be very sudden, and we need to be ready. So what is the Lord waiting for? Because if I was to ask you the question, wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus comes back? How would you like Jesus to come back right now? I wouldn't. I don't want him to come back right now. So don't put your hand out. I'm sorry. I just illustrating. I don't want the Lord Jesus to come back right now. Because if he came back right now, there's people that I know that will be going to hell right now. If Jesus come back right now, I've got people that I know that will not be going with me. I'll be caught up in the air. It says in Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians 15, it says that as we're caught up in the air to meet Jesus, and then we go, and then there's time there for us. We're judged for a war, but then the judgment comes. There's 1,000 years. We reign and rule on the earth with Christ, and then there's the final judgment where the books are opened and everyone stands before God. Jesus is to come back now. I don't want him to come back right now because there's too many people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine there's a house that's burning down and you get out and, man, maybe it's a whole block of flats. Maybe it goes up 20, 30 stories and there's people all hanging out. They're screaming. The building's on fire. And you get out the door and here comes your nice little chauffeur-driven limousines there ready for you to take off, ready for you to go. You're okay. You got out. You escaped. And there's all these people screaming, crying out in this burning building, and you have the chance to go off in the limousine, off into luxury and wonder. You'd say, hang on a minute, just wait 5 seconds. Can you just wait a minute for me? There's still some people in there that they're going to die. They're going to burn to death. And you say, just wait for me. Just drive, keep the engine warm. I'm coming. But I just want to grab some of these people. You'd do that, wouldn't you? You'd want to save as many as you could. You wouldn't just go off. Or you're on a boat and there's all these people drowning. I don't know. You all probably saw the movie Titanic many, many years ago. And there's all these people floating all over the place. And the lifeboats there. Well, what are this little super-powered, super-slick lifeboat, comes up. It's all there, you get in, it's all nice and warm and everything, and there's all these people everywhere bobbing around, drowning, and this boat's just going to take you off. You'd say, hang on a moment, can we just get some of these people? Can we save a few more of these people before we go off? Lord, just, and that's, you know, we'll be praying for the Lord to come, but I pray that we get as many people as we can before he comes. Get them in there. And you've got family members right now. If Jesus came right now, you know that you know where they're going to end up. You know that they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you're praying and believing, Lord, I pray, Lord. But if you're not speaking to them, if you're not encouraging and sowing them, you can hope. But how much better to know than to hope where our family are, where our loved people, loved ones are going to be. And you are related to them. You know them because God trusted you with them and saying, I want you to be faithful and speak the word. You can't make them decide. You can't make them jump in the boat. But man, you can put your hand out and you can cry and say, come on, I don't want you to be left behind. I don't want to see you miss out. And it says here that it's an opportunity. It says he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Jesus can come back at a moment. Don't think, oh, well, like it says, cause them scoffers. Well, you know, where's the coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning. Like life just goes on, and it's so easy for us to fall into, be sucked into that. But Jesus can come back at any time. He's patient with us. He's patient because he doesn't want to see people miss out. He doesn't want to see them burned to death. He wants to see them rescued, and he's giving opportunity for that. It says, verse 15 also, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. He's waiting. He's waiting for us to save as many people, and that's what the Lord is waiting for. It's very selfish of us if we're saying, Lord, I'm just waiting now my time. I know Jesus Christ. I know where I'm going, and I'm going to spend the rest of my days in glorying in the knowledge of where I'm going. And you're there sitting in the limousine, and people are there, and you're nice and comfy in there. And there's look out, and there's people screaming as the flames approach. That's not what it's about. It's about us getting into the task of the gospel, saving as many as we can. It's the opportunity that the Lord is giving us. But I want to ask us all the question, what will we be doing when the Lord Jesus comes back? What will you be doing? Because sometimes, what if there was a hidden camera on you and just all of a sudden, this little hidden camera, you know, maybe during the week they smug a little camera into your pocket or something, and you know, wherever, everything you did, everything you said was recorded. And you came to church on Sunday, and then I whack it up then go, okay, here we go, here's the cam, and we're going to see, you know, would we be embarrassed? Well, certain things would be embarrassed. You're sitting when you go to the little room, and that would be embarrassing, so maybe turn the camera off there. But are there things that you said that you'd be ashamed of? Things that you did that you'd be ashamed of and embarrassed about? But what will you actually be doing at the very moment when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back? It says in Scripture, come up on the screen, Matthew 25:5, it says, the bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Now, you know the story, Matthew 25. It's the story of the 10 virgins. You've got 5 wise, 5 foolish, and the 5 ones that were ready, waiting, that oil was trimmed and ready, waiting, that the lamps trimmed, oil ready, waiting for the bridegroom to come. The other 5, they didn't do that. They didn't actually prepare themselves, and when the moment came, they actually all fell asleep, which is the tragedy of it. They all fell asleep, but at least when he came, these other ones were ready because they had the oil, they had everything ready. The others, they weren't ready at all, and they got locked out and they missed out on the whole deal. Some of them just fell asleep. And maybe we've got to look at our own heart and say, am I falling asleep right now? Am I falling asleep? Am I asleep with the things of God? Am I falling asleep? Have I allowed my life to be so caught up and so full of everything else that I'm not living every day that Jesus could come back at any time and any moment in my life? What are you going to be doing when Jesus comes back? What are you going to be thinking? What are you going to be saying when Jesus comes back? Mark 13, verses 35 to 36, it says, therefore keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What will happen if Jesus comes back? What are you going to be doing when Jesus comes? What is the condition of your heart going to be? What are the words of your mouth going to be? What are your thoughts going to be like when Jesus came? What if he came back very, very suddenly? What would some people rush to do? I think if Jesus suddenly came and that quick, Jesus is coming back right now, I think a lot of people would panic. Even a lot of Christians would panic. Everyone who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, man, they are going to be beside themselves. It says it's an awesome, terrible day of the Lord, the scripture says, because if you don't know him and you've rebelled against him, and here he's coming in all his kingdom, power and glory and majesty, and man, you've rebelled and hated him and ran from him and all your life, man, that is a fearful and terrible day of the Lord for you if you haven't given your heart to the Lord in that way. But I'm sure there's going to be Christians that have allowed areas in compromise in their life. Lord Jesus is coming back, and they're quick, trying to butt out the cigarette. Oh, I'm ready, Lord. Hang on a sec. Quick, mint. Ready, Jesus. I'm ready. Areas of sin and compromise in our lives. So suddenly, you blah, 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 blah. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Thank you. And you know, all of a sudden, everything changes. They're caught in the middle of it. Our attitude, our confession. Maybe there's, oh no, Lord, I haven't asked forgiveness. Lord's coming back. And you run off and you say, oh, look, Mark, I'm really sorry. Look, please forgive me. Look, Jesus, I really am forgiving. You said to forgive, even forgive others as you've forgiven me. Lord, your word says that if you don't forgive others, you won't forgive me. Look, Lord, quickly. Look, I'm doing it. I'm ready. What will we be like? Do we hold things in our hearts, in our lives? Are we ready? What will happen? What will we be like when Jesus comes back? Will we be embarrassed and ashamed? Will you be doing something or thinking something, saying something? Saying, Lord, quick. Will you run out to the teller machine? Look, Lord, you're coming. Sorry, Lord, I didn't mean to rob you of my tithes and offerings. Quick, get all the money. Lord, quick, here's the tithes. I'm sorry, here it is. Would you do that? Mad panic. What are you going to do when Jesus comes? How will he find you when Jesus comes? Maybe some people that have hidden their talents in the ground. You've got a gift in God. Maybe he's given you the ability to sing. And you haven't used that. You haven't used the talent to worship God and to know the way. Jesus comes back, you go, me, Lord, I'm ready. You know, you start singing. You haven't used that gift. You've got a gift of hospitality. God's called you to serve. You haven't done that. All of a sudden, it's come, quick, Lord, quick, cup of coffee. Quick, do you want a cuppa? Quick, have a cuppa. And you run around and you go all crazy doing all of these things because you just let it go. What will you be doing when Jesus comes? Or will he come and find you as a servant, one that is in relationship with him, that when Jesus comes back, you say, Lord, I have just been waiting for you with all my heart and I just love you. The Lord comes and he finds you not sleeping, not doing something that you shouldn't be doing, not having attitudes that we shouldn't have, but our hearts are right before God. Now know that Jesus isn't coming to condemn us. We give our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, become sons and daughters of the living God. And our salvation is secure in Jesus Christ. But I don't want to be doing anything, thinking anything, saying anything that I would be ashamed of that when the Lord Jesus came back. And that's how he wants us to live every moment of our life. What will we be doing when Jesus comes back? I want to have a look at Luke 21. It'll come up on the screen because it talks here about some of the reasons why. Some of the things that distract us so that we are not actually ready for what Jesus does, for Jesus to come back. And actually gives us three areas, three things. And I want us again, we're bringing it into the sunlight. We're saying, Lord, here's my life. I'm taking it into the sunlight, Lord. Inspect my life, Lord. Let your light shine upon me, Lord. Stimulate me to wholesome thinking. Let your light shine upon my life, Lord. Let me look at my life. And because, Lord, I want to be ready. I don't want to be surprised. I want to be embarrassed when you come, Lord. I want to have the heart be ready for when you come back. So Luke 21, verses 33 to 34, it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful where your hearts will be weighed down. And it lists three things that our hearts can be weighed down with. Be careful where your hearts will be weighed down with these three things. First one is dissipation, drunkenness is the second, and the third one is the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. So these warnings that are written in Scripture are not written to unbelievers. They're not out there reading their Bibles. This is speaking to Christians. It's speaking to believers. It's saying, you be alert, be on your guard. It's saying, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful. We, every one of us, we've got to be careful or our hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness and anxieties of life. And that day will close unexpectedly like a trap upon us. What does it mean? What's dissipation mean? Dissipation is where something's spread out in every direction. It dissipates. It's a spreading out. And what it really looks at is in our own life that our lives are so spread out in so many things in so many ways. And it really comes down to that whole issue of our priorities in our life. Now, there was a word that came this morning about the priorities of our life. That our priorities are all over the place. We've got this, this, this. We dissipate our life. We spread out all over the place. Our priorities of our life are wrong. And so if your priorities are wrong in your life, then when the Lord comes, you're not going to be ready. You're so absorbed. It talks about what those other scriptures about what they're going to be doing. This eating and drinking, buying and selling, so caught up with their jobs or their businesses, so caught up in buying the house, building the house, so caught up in doing a whole lot of things in life, so caught up in running around here and there, chasing this one, that one, doing all these things, but not having anything deep of the things of God in their lives. It talks about your life being spread out, where God is not really the center of your life. And you run around, you're distracted by all these things, so many things. And if we allow that to happen to our life, when the Lord comes, oh, sorry, Lord, yeah, look, oh, sorry, yeah, I'm supposed to pray, Lord, yeah, I'm sorry, look, just introduce myself again, remember me, I know I haven't spoken to you for a while, I'm Chris, I know I haven't prayed for a while, but you remember me? Because you allow everything else to get crowded out in your life. You don't pray. And that challenge came about reading the Bible, about praying and those things. Wouldn't you love it when your Lord came back, when the Lord comes back, you're actually sharing your faith with someone, or you're praying or reading your word, or you're serving, you're doing something, rather than so caught up in a whole lot of other things that really don't have any enduring value in our lives. So the priorities in our lives, we have our priorities wrong in life. That's what it's warning us. Be careful, or your heart can be distracted. You're not going to live your life like the way God wants us to do. Second area is drunkenness. We might think, well, drunkenness, I don't even drink. I'm not going to get drunk. Not an issue for me. Well, really what it's talking about is indulging self. It's actually substituting something instead of God. And people do that. You know, the people, they get drunk. They do that to drown their sorrows, to divert them, distract them. But the pursuit of pleasure in our lives can be something that stops you being ready for when the Lord comes. You're so caught up in your own pleasure, your own self-satisfaction, self-satisfying, what I want, what I need. I've got to get this, I've got to get that. All that me. And if we start to live like that, it warns us, be careful that if we become self-centered, selfish people, lovers of pleasure. And it warns us, it says in the last days, Scripture tells us, it says in the last days there'll be terrible times because people become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, it says. It goes on to talk about a lot of other stuff, but lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And so we've got to watch that in our own heart. Are we so more interested in our own amusement and entertainment that we're not really interested in the things of God being central into our life and into our heart? So what would happen if Jesus came back right now? Where would you be? Where's your heart now? Are we ready? Are we living ready for God? And the other areas, it talks about the anxieties of life. If you're alive, you have anxieties. In other words, there are things that happen. There are stresses, there are problems, pressures that every one of us face in life. No one is exempt from things in life. We live in a sinful world. There's people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're impacted by that. And sometimes we do dumb things ourselves. And so there are pressures and things that are surround each and every one of us in our lives. But the question is, do we allow those things to overwhelm us to such an extent that they actually inerr our God? They preoccupy our thoughts more than anything of the things of God does. And some people can get like that. They get in such an emotional state that even to pray with them, they're just so almost got disconnected from God. It's because the problem has become the God. It's become the focus. It's become the idol that's actually taken over every thought, every waking moment. It permeates every part of our life. We've got to be so careful of that. You know, we're talking about victory this morning, those words about rising up in the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we just focus on the problem all of the time, you're not going to live in victory, and you're not going to live with expectation of the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. You're going to get overwhelmed in life. And here you are sitting in the limousine and saying, and people are up there dying and crying out, save us, save us. You're sitting in the limousine and saying, oh, gee whiz, I've gone and got a ladder in my stocking. And because comparatively, that's what it is. Comparatively, it is. The things that we go through, even heart-rending, difficult things. When you've got salvation in life, you are sitting in the limousine. And sometimes the ladder in the stockings, lady, you're, oh, no, look what I've done to my... Oh. Or some of us guys, or maybe we've, oh, I've done a hammy, I've hurt myself, I'm strained. Or at the end of the day, our problems are got to be seen in that kind of context. Paul talks about our light and momentary problems. Because we know where we're going. We know that Jesus is coming back. And if we live always expecting his return and we have that mentality, Jesus is coming back anytime, and I'm living my life for the kingdom, I'm sowing myself for the kingdom, I'm living for the kingdom, then we're not going to get all absorbed over those things that happen in our life. Things will happen in our lives. And when they happen, yes, they're real, and yes, they can hurt, and they can cause all sorts of anxieties in our life, but we don't allow those things to overwhelm us. Because we've got to always keep the perspective. Keep it in perspective. So when you get it out of the eternal perspective, that's when the problem overwhelms you. If you think, oh no, this is my whole life, my whole existence is this problem, woe is me, I'm overwhelmed, I'm dying or drowning. Well, it says, hang on a minute. Haven't I not saved you? Haven't I not given you eternal life? Is not that what life is all about? Haven't you already got the answer to all of that? And surely if you now take it from the eternal perspective and say, okay, when I look at this thing, it really is not big. In context of eternity, it really isn't that big. But if you're only looking at this little life, and even worse than your whole life, because some people think a bad season or a time, this is my whole existence. Well, it's not. It's a season. It's a time that maybe you're in. But some people even look at that whole season even and think that season is now my whole life. How foolish that is. We've actually need to have an eternal perspective and seize things from an eternal perspective. Get it in context. You're sitting in the limousine, and don't be crying over the ladder in your stocking or you strained a muscle. Get out there and save a few people before the building burns down with them on it. But we can be so absorbed in our own problems, and that can stop us from being ready. So what do you want to do? What are you going to be doing when Jesus comes? What are you going to be doing? What's your spiritual state going to be like? What's your emotional state? What are your thoughts going to be like? Are you going to be asleep? I said, quick, Jesus is coming. So some people find it hard to stay awake in church or in anything to do with God. In worship time, they're asleep. And it says, don't be asleep when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. Don't let him find you napping. He wants you to see you serving and using all that God has for us. And we need to live like that every day. 1 month to live was fantastic, okay? Every day. If I only got 1 month to live, how would I live this day? We've got to actually sharpen the focus so much more. What if Jesus came back today, or Jesus was coming back tomorrow? He can come back at any time. And as much as we say, Lord, hang on a moment, there's still a few more that we want to get saved, he'll come back at the appointed time. But we can actually hasten it. As Scripture says, looking forward to and hastening the kingdom of God, the coming of Christ. How do we do that? Well, the more people that we get saved, then the closer it is to Christ coming back. If you're hanging out for Jesus to return, then make him come quicker by saving him a few more, because the Lord's patience means salvation. But what are you going to be doing when Jesus comes? There's a final scripture, Matthew 24. This is like part one. I want to talk about more of this next week. But it says in Matthew 24:12, it says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. I'm not talking about unbelievers. They don't even have love for God. It says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will become cold. What a scary scripture that is. Scary thing, isn't it? That our love can grow cold. That man, Lord, you bring me into the sunlight, Lord. If I've allowed any coldness in my heart towards you, Lord, or towards others, Lord. If I've allowed compromise, Lord, I'm going to be running around madly like a headless chook when you come back, Lord. If there's some things in my life, Lord, I want to deal with that now. Lord, I don't want to be caught napping, Lord. I don't want to be embarrassed when you come back, Lord. I want to be ready for you when you come. And I certainly don't want my love for God to grow cold. What a sad thing that would be. So let's stand. I want to pray for us this morning. Thank you, Father. Father, as we stand here, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that every heart, every person here, Lord, today, Lord, has been brought into the sunlight, Lord. And Father, even as your light shines down upon us, Lord, you're not doing this to judge us or to condemn us. But Lord, you shine your life, Lord, upon us, Lord, because you want life to come. Father, you shine your light upon us because you want us to grow, Lord. You want us to fulfill the potential that you have for each and every one of us. And Father, we don't want to be ones, Lord, that are so full of trying to give ourselves pleasure, Lord, that we miss your kingdom. Father, we don't want to be people that are so absorbed in our own problems, Lord, that we're no good earthly good or eternal good, Father, because we're so self-absorbed, Father. Lord, help us to have our hearts right before you, Father. Let us not be so running around, caught after this thing, chasing after that, Lord, that we dissipate ourselves, we spread ourselves thinly, Lord, and we don't even have you at the center of our own hearts and our own lives. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you're shining a light upon us right now. And Lord, as I look at my own heart, Father, if the Lord, if you came back now, Lord, if you'd come back yesterday or coming tomorrow, Lord, well, what's in my own heart? And Father, we bring our hearts before you, Lord. We say, Lord, shine your light. Shine your light upon us, Lord. Show us, Lord, not that you would condemn us, Lord, but you would change us. Lord, because we don't want to be surprised, Lord. We want to be ready for when you come, Lord. We want to be the men and women, the young people, Lord, the children, Lord, that you've called us to be, Lord, when you come. Because, Jesus, you are coming. And, Lord, we want to be ready. And, Father, I pray, if there's any person that is here this morning that has not come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, if there's anybody here that has not said, Lord Jesus, I need you. Lord, when you come, I want to be ready for you. I want to take that the sacrifice that you did upon the cross, that when you died for sin, let it be for my sin, Lord Jesus. Become my Jesus, Lord. Become my Lord. And Lord, let me have eternal life. If you don't know Jesus today, I pray that you will come and you'll say, I've got to have Jesus in my life. I don't want to be one of the ones who are terrified and fearful. But I want to be ones that are rejoicing because the lover of my soul, my Jesus, has come for me. If you don't know Jesus today, I pray that you will come and we'll stand with you and you'll come to know the Lord and Savior, to know his love and his saving grace upon your life. But Father, for each and every one of us, Lord, if we've allowed compromise in our own hearts, Lord, we just bring it before you now. Lord, we want to do business with you now and deal with that, Father. So Lord, I pray for every open heart, Lord, that you will work in our lives, Lord, and that we grow us, Lord, that we will be who you want us to be. Lord, every day, living as if Jesus came back, right at that moment, right at that time, Lord, that we will not be ashamed, but Father, Lord, that we'll be living expectantly, living for your kingdom. And Lord, that you'll come and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Father, they're the words that we long to hear. Let us live our lives to please you. Let us live every moment to please you, Lord. Father, we ask that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today, we'll give you an opportunity to come forward now and we'll pray with you. If you want to give your life to Jesus, you can come and we ask people to come forward. You might feel that strange. It's not strange. We do it all the time. If you want to know Jesus Christ, you just come forward and we'll pray with you. We'll pray a simple prayer and then you can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You turn your life around. And if you need prayer this morning, maybe the Lord's got his finger on some area of your life. You say, Lord, I want to get it right. Then you can come forward. We'll pray with you this morning. You need prayer, there's an opportunity for prayer. But don't go home today the way that you came. As you walk out the door, there's sunlight. It's sun shining. And just let that be a reminder of the light of God shining on your life and say, yes, Lord, change me, Lord. Where there's flaws, where there's cracks, there's things in my life, Lord, let it come into order. Lord, I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.